Today we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 21. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 21 and verses 7 to 11. And the topic I just want to talk about tonight, I've just found a summary, is God's plan for you when the signs of the end begin to appear. God's plan for you when the signs of the end begin to appear. So our text again is from Luke chapter 21, verse 7 to 11. Teacher, they asked, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place? He replied, watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name claiming, I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and uprisings, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. All right, so the background to this was, it was nearing the end of Jesus' time on the earth. And they were talking about the end. And the disciples of Christ asked him that, what are the signs of the, what are, you know, tell us some of the signs that we should look out for to indicate to us that the end is near and that your coming is soon. You know, let's remember that Jesus said that no one knows exactly when he's going to come back, but he said that there'll be signs to indicate that his coming is near. So Jesus began to go through a number of things here. One of the things he spoke about was deception. One of the things he spoke about was wars and uprisings. And all those things have been happening. And, you know, earthquakes, we've seen loads of those. Someone was saying that the earthquakes that have happened in the 19th century alone, you know, maybe in the past 100 years, I'm not 100 years or 70 years, have surpassed all the earthquakes from, you know, as far thousands of years. So it's accelerating. So we've seen famine as well. We've seen famine in different parts of the world. Now we're talking about pestilence. And I'm talking particularly about what's happening at the moment. And I just want to put some of these things in perspective. Now, am I saying because of what's happening at the moment, you know, it means that Jesus is coming tomorrow? Well, he could. Now, I'm not saying that. Neither am I, you know, a fair monger or try and say, well, gloom and doom and all those things. No, I just want to put us, you know, put everything back in perspective for us. So there are five things I want to look at in terms of tonight, just to give us perspective of what the time, kind of time that we're in at the moment. And I guess the first thing I want to tell us is that we should relax. That's not in my sermon notes. I'm telling you. First thing first is we need to take it easy. We need to relax. Because God has got everything covered. But I'll talk about that, you know, as we go along. So the first thing that we see here is this, that Jesus is saying here is the times that we're in will be characterized with a lot of things that will be fear-provoking. There are things that we see now, I mean, like the current thing that's happening all around the world, where I've never seen it in such a scale that, you know, countries are shutting down. I thought, you know, England, you know, the schools are shutting down. France, Italy, you can't even go out. You know, certain parts in the West of Africa, and everybody's shutting now, everybody's going, taking their kids from school. Such a global shutdown. I've never seen it before. You would just think, okay, we've heard about Ebola, you know, that was a big deal. We've heard about this, but it has never been to such a scale that it affects everyone globally, irrespective of whether you're tall or short, you're black or white, you're Caribbean or you're English. No. It has nothing to do with that. It's global. Everybody is being affected. So this begins to tell us that Jesus I mean, when Jesus says certain things, he means business. Now, we have the concept of how these things that Jesus is saying, how will it happen? We begin to conceive that it's not even, I mean, we can't really place our finger on it. Is there going to be war somewhere? Will an Antichrist guy come and all those things? But we've just seen a little taste that a little virus can cause shivers across the nations. Just a little, I'm not going to say little virus because I don't want to just disrespect those who have been affected by it. So I'm not going to say little virus, but what I'm saying is that this spark has sent tremors through the earth. The nations, the armies of nations cannot defend themselves against it. Nuclear weapons cannot defend themselves. Air-to-air missiles cannot help. Bulletproof vests cannot help. Do you understand? So it begins to tell you something that, my goodness, there are certain things that can paralyze the world, and those things will not lift the bullet. Those things will not lift any armory at all. Do you understand what I mean? So that's what's happening. So Jesus said these kind of things will characterize the world as we go on and on. But we should relax. We should relax all the same. So that's the first thing, that these things have been spoken about. God knows about them, and they're things that will, you know, happen. It's just that now it's happening. What's happened is happening in such a global scale that it's got people really panicked, which is understandable. So that's the first thing. These things have been spoken about. Now, the second thing I want to mention is this. The issue here is this. The issue we're facing at the moment is something that Jesus said. You see, I love the Bible so much. It's an issue of fear. Jesus said something in Luke chapter 21, verse 26. Luke chapter 21, verse 26. He says, men's hearts failing them from fear and for looking at those things that are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. So Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, verse 26, that we're in a time where men's hearts will fail them because of fear. People will be so afraid, it will be paralyzing. Because it's like, where do you even start from? If it was like, you know, another country threatening you with a nuclear bomb or with an army, you could respond to that. There's a response for that. But Jesus said that the thing that will paralyze the world is fear. He didn't say atomic weapons. He didn't say the Cold War. He says fear will paralyze the world, that people's heart will fail. They will look left. They will look right. And they will now realize that, hang on, what is this about? Fear will paralyze people on the earth. And we're seeing it now. People are distraught. Rightly so. People are distraught. You know, something interesting happened to me about 4 or 5 weeks ago. And I was just, you know, this hadn't come to all this. And, you know, God just put it in my heart and said, you know, for the next few weeks, I don't want you to really, really, I want you to don't go on social media. I don't really go, but I just, you know, surf once in a while. I said, don't go on social media. The news, cut it out. This, cut it out. So I was like, really? So I stopped watching the news. I stopped watching all these things. Do you understand what I mean? And all these things now began to happen. I'll tell us about fear and how it works. And I believe that it was just God, you know, and this is one of the things I'm going to share later, was just preparing, well, me individually, to prepare my heart, to shield my heart from this barrage of fear. Do you understand? And fear is what is really killing a lot of people now. And rightly so. I'm not blaming anybody. It is fearful. It is a fearful thing when, you know, like no one seems to know what the answer is at this time. But Jesus said it. He said, Jesus didn't say this time will be, you know, filled with people who, he said, fear is going to be a paralyzing thing. And he said that in, so that's the second thing. Now, the other thing that I see here in the context is, and again, it's what I would call a form of helplessness. Now, I looked at the dictionary, and what is helplessness? Helplessness is defined as an inability to defend oneself or to act effectively. So the third thing we see here is that, you know, people are in, the world is in a state of helplessness. There's no response. They're not able, you know, people are not able to practically defend themselves. And it's like, where do we even start? So we see here that this goes beyond what we're used to. And it's brought people to the place where they feel helpless. It's like, well, what's going to happen now? We'll just see how it goes. Helplessness. Now, what does Jesus tell us? The fourth thing. Jesus begins to tell us a number of things. He says in Luke, this Luke chapter 21 that we read, he says Luke chapter 21 verse 9. He says, when you hear of wars and uprisings, do not be frightened. So Jesus knew that for us as believers, even though he's written it in the Bible, even though we've read this hundreds of times, even though we've done this in doctrinal study, even though we've done this in, you know, he knew that the suddenness of it, the effect of it, will cause us as Christians to be afraid. And he said, don't be afraid. Because Jesus knew that we will panic as well. He knew. And he said, guys, don't be afraid. So this begins to tell me that Jesus, I mean, knows us. He knows us. He didn't say here, when all this happens, pray more. He expects us to pray. He didn't say, when all these things happen, do this. No. He says, don't be afraid. Do you understand? So the Bible tells us that we do not have a high priest who is ignorant of how we feel. So Jesus knows that we'll be afraid. And he says, don't be afraid. So that's the fourth thing. Now, the last thing I want to talk about is, so the Bible tells us these things. It tells us to expect that these things will happen. The Bible tells us, look, don't be afraid. The Bible tells us that fear will be prevalent, but don't be afraid. So what are the practical things? Because we've all read all these things before. These things, these passages I'm reading, we are all familiar with them. But how come we're still afraid? Because we're human. Do you understand? So Jesus isn't, you know, having a go at us for being human. But what are some of the practical things that we as Christians can take hold of on a daily basis to help us, to bring us out of the place of fear, to bring us out of the place of the turmoil that is going on, to bring us to the place where Jesus is and is telling us not to be afraid, practically? I've outlined a number of things here. So these are some of the things, these are my own what I call medicine pills. So all these things I'm saying, they're things that I personally take to heart. So it's not me dishing out information. It's me saying, well, these are the things that work in my own life. These are the things that I believe Christ wants us to, you know, really take to heart. Five things I'm going to look at. Now, the first thing is this. We need to realize, and, you know, I'm not just saying this to be funny. We need to realize the first thing is that these things have not taken God by surprise. Do you understand what I mean? They have not taken God by surprise. So God is not in heaven saying, my goodness, what are we going to do about this? So the first thing in terms of how we deal with this thing is this. These things have not taken God by surprise. God is not in heaven thinking, my goodness, what do we do with this challenge that is facing these guys at the moment. No. Isaiah chapter 46 verse 10. Isaiah 46, 10, it says, I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. So God makes known the end from the beginning. God knows exactly what is happening. So it hasn't taken him by surprise. Now, if I even take that further, God told Apostle William, General Overseer, about all these things. In fact, there's so many other things that he said, that this is going to happen in England and there's going to be, he said so many things. So even God has even told us as a global church that these things are going to happen. And he said that there's going to be a famine in England for 3 years. So it has just started. However, the message of God to us is we should not be afraid, because God will take care of us. If I use the American slang, God has got our backs. So I'm saying the first thing we need to realize is that God is not surprised. It hasn't just sprung up on God. So we need to realize that. So if that's the case, as it is, God has already prepared things in advance for us. Do you remember, if we flip our minds back to the book of Genesis, when there was going to be a famine in the land, that was going to wipe out the whole civilization as it were. God, the master planner, knowing the end from the beginning, sent a little boy called Joseph through hardship to Egypt. And this boy just going about his business, not even knowing what the plan of God was. God now used this boy, brought him to the king in Egypt, told him, look, there's going to be famine for 7 years. Start keeping the crops and all this. And because of that advice that this young man gave, it saved the whole civilization as we know it. God, the master planner. Nobody even knew what was going to happen. But God had planned it. So why am I saying this? I'm saying this, that even as terrible as things might look, underline that word look, God has still got everything under control. And England will not go under, as some people are saying. At least that's what Apostle has said. England will not go under. Do you understand? As a country. Even with all this Brexit stuff that's happening, we will not go under as a nation. But we'll go through some turbulent times for 3 years. But we're covered. So the first thing, God isn't taken by surprise. Now, the second thing we need to realize as individuals is this. God knows that as a Christian, no matter how spiritual you are, there are times that you'll be afraid, as maybe some, you might have experienced now. My goodness, what's going to happen to this? What's going to happen to that? Am I going to lose my job? Am I going to do this? Do I get it? All these things. And you know what God says in response? 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7. It says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So the second thing I'm talking about here is the fact that God is not distant. God is not there saying, I've told you, you guys exercise faith now. You guys, no. He's saying, look, any anxiety you're feeling, know that as God, I understand. Don't worry. Cast it on me. So God cares about us. He expects us that if we feel any anxiety, then we should tell him about it and say, God, this is serious. What's happening here? Do you understand? So the second thing we need to keep in mind is that God cares about you and I very deeply. He's not distant, even in all this that is going on. Now, the third thing is this. God has promised that for us, he will be with us through thick and thin. Isaiah chapter 43 verse 2. Isaiah 43:2. It says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. So the third thing we see here is this. God knows where we are. And he said that even through trying times, as we currently might be facing, or even apart from this, just generally speaking, God is right by your side. He's right by my side as well. Day in, day out. And this passage is interesting. He didn't say, I will not let you go through the waters. He says, because he knows that there will be trying times, but he promises one thing. He says, I will be right there by you. This water will not overflow you. If it's fire, you will go through that fire, but it will not burn you. So God is not saying it's going to be a life of roses, or is it a bed of roses? But he guarantees us one thing. Now, whatever it is that is happening, he will be there with us through thick or thin. So that's the third thing that he says here. Now, the other thing as well, so we've bearing all these three things in mind, that God is not surprised by all this, is not something that just happened all of a sudden, realizing that God cares about us and that God will be with us. A number of things we need to now do on our own, from our own perspective, practically. And the very important thing is this, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It said, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. What does that mean? This singular scripture has kept me as a Christian for over 20 years. I understood this thing just months after I became born again. Now, what does it mean to guard your heart? What is your heart? It says, your heart is where everything flows from. Jesus said that the heart of a man, that's where all things flow from. Now, what this is saying is, the entry to your heart that really affects you as a human being comes through three things. What you listen to, what you watch, and what you think about. If, as a Christian, you can guard what you listen to, number one, if, as a Christian, you can guard what you watch, and if, as a Christian, you can guard what you think about, nothing will happen. I mean, you will have control of your life in your hand like this, with the grace of God. Why? Because these are the entry points to our life. So any fear that is going to come to any individual is either going to come through something that you're hearing on the news, something that you're watching, or something that you're thinking about. If you can use close all these things, these entrances to your heart, then you can begin to deal with fear. In fact, this is the medicine for a lot of things. Do you understand? Now, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Still talking about guarding our hearts. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. So we're saying here that as a Christian, you need to guard your heart. Now, a lot of stuff's going on in the news. People are panicking. People are saying all sorts of things. No problem. But you need to realize that the Bible says that even though you live in this world, you are not part of this world. That means you are not part of the world system. You're not part of, you're not part of the world system. You should exclude yourself from the thinking of the world system. Now, am I saying we should be oblivious to what is going on around us? No. Am I saying we should ignore the government's guidelines? No, we should not. You know, anything to keep us, you know, they said we should wash our hands. You wash your hands. They said use sanitizers. You do so. They say avoid going to do all those things. Bible says we should not test God. We should do all those things. However, we need to realize that we do those things, you know, for due diligence. However, we need to realize that apart from that kind of information, we really don't need any other information from the media. You do not need the information of how many people have died. You do not need the information about how many people the thing is planning to kill somewhere. You do not need information about how many people have, how the NHS is suffering. We need that to pray for the NHS. We do not need that information about the fact that they're predicting that people are going to, you don't need that information. The information you need is government guidelines. Once you get that one, you just say, fine, thank you. The rest, I'll pass. A la carte. You go to the table, you pick the one that is relevant. Every other thing, you say, thank you, I don't need it. Block it from your mind. Do you understand what I mean? Because as we do this, we will block out fear from our heart. We will not, I mean, I don't want to be funny about this, but the death toll in England, I hear, is maybe about 100 and something, and that is really, really bad. Do you understand? However, we need to bear in mind that there are more people that are kidnapped and killed in England that the police doesn't even report on a weekly basis. Now, I don't want to go in that direction because that would be belittling. Even if it's the life that's been lost by the disease, it's still bad enough. But what I'm just saying is this. Let us draw ourselves away from the world system's flow of thinking. We need to guard our hearts. And the Bible says, as you guard your heart, as you avoid all these unnecessary information for you, when I say unnecessary, I'm talking about the bits that are not going to do anything to you, that you don't have any, that can't help you in any way. As you avoid that, the Bible even says, don't stop there. Don't go home and think about it. It says, think about lovely things. Think about good things. Think about the fact that, you know what? God is great. You're saved. You know, Jesus loves you. It's a time to, I mean, there's so many things you can think about. It says, don't think about these ghastly things, even though they're factual, even though we should pray for the people around us, we should pray for the government. But once you prayed about it, zap it from your mind. I'm telling you, zap it from your mind. Anywhere they're speaking about, you know, bad, you know, oh, this, excuse yourself from that conversation. I tell you, excuse yourself from that conversation. Now, I'm not saying, you know, we should be oblivious to what is going on, but you don't really need that information. The Bible says that concerning things that are evil, we should be children. Do you understand? You don't need to know all those things. Guard your heart. So that's the fourth thing. Now, the last thing is this, around what we should do practically as Christians. You know, from the beginning of the year, I've been saying that Jesus is saying we should go back to the basics. Now, what is the basics of life? What is the basis of your life as a Christian? Jesus said that in John chapter 17, verse 3. He says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus whom you have sent. Every other thing outside of that is an additional thing. I'm telling you, every other thing apart from knowing Christ is an addition. Why? Because when you leave this world, that is the only thing that you will have good memories of, apart from your family and all this. That's the only thing that is eternal. Your job is not eternal. Your bills are not eternal. Am I saying we should disregard those things? No, we should not. I'm a hardworking guy. True, I am. But what I'm saying is that the priority is not that. The priority is Christ. Once you have Christ, once we make the focus of our attention knowing Christ, every other thing really doesn't matter. I'm telling you, if your joy is from Christ, it doesn't matter. You will always be occupied, you understand, with Christ. So, the last thing I'm saying, the fifth thing is that We should focus our attention on knowing Christ. And the other thing is this. As a Christian, you should be prepared to know Christ in this world, and you should be prepared to know Christ when you die. Now, the question that every Christian needs to think about is this. I have thought about it. I've processed it through my mind sometimes. Now, what is this? This might not be a popular thing to say. I'm encouraging you guys, but this is a good encouragement as well. This is what I wanted to say. We know Christ now, right, as we're alive. When we die, we carry on knowing Christ. So what is your opinion about death? What is your opinion about that? Have you thought about that? Have you thought through that one day you're going to die? Some people will die sooner than others if Christ doesn't come. How about if you died next week? What is your opinion about that? Now, nobody here is going to die next week. But I'm just saying that paraventure, if it's time up for you, paraventure, if it is your time to leave, what is your opinion about that? What have you processed that? What do you think about that? How does that make you feel? Does that terrify you? What do you think about? Well, this is what the Bible tells us. Paul was saying something in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 8. He says, "We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord." So Paul was saying, guys, really my preference is to be away from the body, but I need to be here because I need to spread the gospel more. So this was a guy that, come on, death, he preferred it. Why? Because he knew that once he's out of this body, he's going to be with Christ. Christ will be waiting for him. So he said, I'm in this world, that's fine. But really, there's something I prefer, to be out of this world, man. Why? Not because I want to leave all the suffering behind. No. So that I can be with Christ. I can focus my whole attention on Christ. Bible tells us in Psalm 116 verse 15. It says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. So how do you view death? God says death is precious. The death of a saint in his eyes, for God is precious. It's like, my goodness, you finished what I've asked you to do on earth here. I'm waiting for you. Do you understand? Hebrews chapter 2 verse 15, it says, one of the things that Jesus came to free us from is, in Hebrews chapter 2 15, it says, and to free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. So one of the things that Jesus came to deliver us from is the fact that, man, people did not know what was going to happen when they died. So any attempt to face death, horror, it was a horror for them. But when Jesus came and he said, I give you life eternal, this is what happens when you die. You be with me. Jesus now said, as we believe in him, our life doesn't just, stop here and ends here. He says it's eternal. So people now said, my goodness, wow, I'm not like the Muslim who is not sure if he does his 7 prayers a day and goes to Mecca and all those things. He's not sure if he's going to go to hell or heaven. Maybe he might go to hell for a bit. I'm not like the Hindu who's just weighing it in the balance to say, well, I'll be reincarnated, but I might go to hell first, serve some punishment. I'm not like the, why am I saying? I'm mentioning all these things because all these things, they do not give any assurance after death. The atheists will say, well, I don't believe in the existence of God. No problem. Ask them on their deathbed. So Jesus said, I have come to give them life eternal. So why am I saying all these things? I'm saying all these things because the fear of death is one of the crippling things in the lives of people. People are afraid to die because they don't know where they're going. truly. So what am I saying here tonight? I'm saying that God has us in his hands like this. And what should we do? We should relax. Our own part is, let's just, while we're on this earth, let us enjoy it in peace, with peace of mind. And the way we do it is we guard our hearts, we focus on Christ, do what we can, avoid all the bad news, take the ones that are relevant to us, and let's be cool. So for me, I don't know if this is an appropriate thing to say, you know, in the current situation, I'm cool. You know, not that I'm not being empathetic to others. I don't know how to explain. You know, for me, I'm cool. I am cool. Now, I'm cool because I have Christ. I am cool because wherever I am, Christ is there. Christ wants us to be cool as well. Well, not cool ignoring what is going on in the world. We will pray for the world. We will pray for everything that is going on. But tonight, I'm just saying that, look, one, God knows all these things. God understands the fear that we might be going through. He says he'll be with us through thick and thin. He has said that we should guard our hearts. And lastly, that we should focus on him. And as we do that, all these things will be history. A couple of years down the line, if Christ hasn't come by then, we'll be telling the story about, oh, this happened, that happened. But one thing won't have changed. Christ, now and forevermore. Amen. So I'd just like us to just rise up and we're just going to pray. One or two prayers. I want us to pray for the church. You know, I want us to pray that God help us not to be afraid. Put things in perspective for us so that we know that God is right beside us all the time. So we're going to pray tonight and we're just going to say, Father, for any one of us that is experiencing fear, Lord, you said you understand. Help us. Comfort us. Give us hope that is tangible in our life. In Jesus' name, let us pray. Amen. Father, we just want to thank you tonight. Thank you for your word, your eternal word. Thank you because all these things have not taken you by surprise, as we have seen. Tonight, we lift up all our brothers and our sisters. We ask in the name of Jesus that anyone that is experiencing any kind of fear, anyone that is experiencing any kind of anxiety, Lord, we know that you understand. We ask that you will bring relief to them in Jesus' name. Father, your word says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. Father, we release, oh God, your peace upon every heart. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We want to pray for, you know, for the world, for the United Kingdom, everywhere that this thing is just causing havoc. We want to pray that, Father, you're the creator of the heavens and the earth. Tonight, we just stand as a church and we're saying, let your mercy, your hand of mercy stretch. Stop the spread of this thing. Bring relief to the world. We are all created in your image. Christian, Muslim, whoever. It doesn't matter. We're all in your image. Tonight, we ask that for humanity. Stretch out your hand of mercy tonight. Bring this thing to a halt. Bring relief to the world. In Jesus' name, let us pray. Father, tonight, we lift up everyone in the world. You have said that you have made each and every one of us in your image. It is not whether we are Christian or Muslim or Hindu. Not at all. The fact that we are your image counts. Lord, we ask that you will stretch your hand of mercy out tonight. That you will bring this thing to a halt. That it will not proceed any further. Father, we ask that you will bring relief to the world. Father, we ask that you will bring relief to every single one that is experiencing this thing in the name of Jesus. Father, bring relief. Bring relief, Father, we pray. Bring relief. We stand as your church. Father, you have said whatever we speak, whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Father, tonight we speak as your church. bring relief, bring an end to this thing in the name of Jesus. Let your mercy speak. Let your mercy speak. Father, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Our Father and our King, we thank you. Father, we thank you because you have not left us as orphans in this world. Thank you for the gift of Christ. Thank you for the salvation that you've given us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your word. Thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives as your children. Father, we commit everybody into your hands. Everyone that is experiencing any kind of loss through this. Father, we thank you because we know that your mercy will be stretched out in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you because we know you've heard us tonight. In Jesus' name.